So another extraordinary night at Westminster as Parliament's last act of sitting was to reject an election. Let's go straight to Westminster and our political correspondent, Enda McClafferty. Good morning to you, Enda.
Morning, Vinny.
And that is, of course, all we'll be hearing from the Chamber for the next 5 weeks after the government suspended Parliament.
Yes, the Chamber has gone into hibernation, if you like, Vinny, for the next 5 weeks. But it didn't go out in a whimper. It went out with a bang early this morning, it has to be said, because the scenes witnessed in the Chamber this morning were something akin to what you might see across the road in the Westminster Arms pub and not in the mother of all Parliament, because it was chaotic and nobody could have predicted how it would have played out, Vinny, because we had the spectacle of the Speaker, John Bercow, being surrounded by opposition MPs in his seat who were physically trying to hold him down to ensure that he couldn't get up and walk across and lead the MPs across to the House of Lords for the reading of the Queen's Proclamation, which essentially triggered the suspension of Parliament. And to see John Bercow and security staff struggling, pulling MPs off the Speaker in the House of Commons was a sight to behold early this morning, Vinny.
MPs held up signs saying silenced and shouting shame on you. They also burst into song on the bench, singing traditional Welsh and Scottish songs. Any of our MPs, our own MPs, join in the singing?
No, they didn't join in the singing, Vinny, that's for sure. We had the Labour rendition of the Red Flag and we had the Scottish SNP MPs singing the Flower of Scotland. They sang those anthems, if you like, while they remained in the House of Commons, while the Conservative MPs all crossed the lobby into the House of Lords to, if you like, watch the ceremony take place. And then we had what normally happens in these circumstances is that the Speaker then returns and the MPs shake hands with the Speaker at the end of what is the parliamentary session. Well, the Tory MPs and a snub to John Bercow decided to stay out of the chamber, and what we had was Labour MPs lining up behind Jeremy Corbyn to shake hands with John Bercow as they left the chamber. It was quite incredible scenes, it has to be said, and something I don't think anybody expected.
Let's talk about that second vote for an election. Was the government anywhere near close to getting the numbers that they needed?
No, it went according to what was expected. Essentially, last time round, I fell way short of the two-thirds it needs to get the election called. This time was much the same again. The numbers were pretty similar, Vinny, and it was pretty clear even when Boris Johnson got to his feet to start the debate last night ahead of the vote that he knew this was a lost cause, so to speak. But he was there essentially to make a political point, emphasising that here we have an opposition like no other opposition in the world, he maintains, who are given the opportunity of a general election and do not take it. Of course, the position on the other side of the House was quite clear. They've made it clear over the course of the past few days that they were not going to prioritise an election while the threat of a no-deal Brexit still remains. So they essentially wanted that to disappear, wanted the 31st of October to come and go with no-deal Brexit having happened before they would even consider an election. So it all went according to plan, but it has left Boris Johnson in a very unenviable position, Vinny, because he has been 6 days now in Westminster and has lost 6 votes in a row. So you can see how he will be pretty relieved this morning to escape from the Westminster bubble.
Let's talk about the Northern Ireland only backstop. It's featuring the front page of a couple of our local papers this morning. Unionist fears are going to be hung out to dry. I think that's in the front of the Irish News this morning. Tell us more about that. Johnson planning this Northern Ireland backstop in the newsletter as well.
Well, it's worth explaining what the Northern Ireland backstop essentially is, Vinny. This was something that was put on the table by the EU at the very outset, where they maintained that in order to ensure there was no return to a hard border in the island of Ireland, that Northern Ireland would essentially be treated differently than the rest of the UK. There would be alignment with the single market and also customs arrangements put in place. And you remember back then the DUP told Theresa May this was a non-starter. It had to be removed from the table because it effectively put a border down the Irish Sea. And that was the end of the Northern Ireland only backstop as far as Theresa May was concerned. But here we're now in a position whereby Boris Johnson has got very few options left because he can't get a no deal, he can't get an election through Parliament, and he's staring at the prospect now that he will probably have to go and try and get some kind of deal with the EU if he's going to stick to that promise of leaving the EU come the 31st of October. And there are many people suggesting, apparently it was in the discussion with the Taoiseach in Dublin as well, that the only way he probably can do that is to do a cut and paste job, remove the backstop that's there right now, which essentially ties all of the UK stay in with the customs arrangements in the EU and also the single market and replace it with the Northern Ireland only backstop. The feeling is that's what the EU might go for, and that, if you like, would allow Boris Johnson then to press ahead with his plans. But there's a big problem with that, Vinnie, and that is there are many within the Conservative Party who wouldn't go along with that. And of course the DUP say, as far as they're concerned, they've been assured by Boris Johnson that that is not on the table, because he would not enjoy their support now, or indeed on the other side of election, if he went for that particular plan. And they also say it's bad for the economy in Northern Ireland, but doesn't stop the talk about it. Arlene Foster's in London today. No doubt she will be asked about it as well.
Yeah, stay there if you can. I want to play a clip to you, and this is from the DUP's, their deputy leader, Nigel Dodds, talking on Newsnight last night.
Great. I'm just asking for your response now. If this is Boris Johnson's only deal, if this is the only way left to him, because he won't ask for an extension and he won't break the law, what would you say to the Prime Minister?
We're very clear that we agree with what Boris Johnson put in his letter to Donald Tusk. The backstop is anti-democratic. It means that nobody in Stormont or London would have any say over large swathes of the economic laws that would apply in Northern Ireland. He has rejected that. He also accepts our position that it's contrary to the provisions of the Belfast Agreement. He's accepted that. So I don't expect Boris Johnson to do anything of the sort. There may be some areas where, in certain areas of the economy, where it's to the benefit of Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom and the Irish Republic and the rest of the EU to have arrangements. But that would have to be subject to the provisions of paragraph 50 of the joint vote, which we inserted, which is that the consent of the Northern Ireland Assembly, unionists and nationalists, would have to apply. Right. So if all of that applies, then that is fine.
So, one of the many questions is, does Boris Johnson still need the DUP? Does he have the numbers to get a withdrawal agreement through with a Northern Ireland only backstop without them?
Well, he's lost his majority as it stands right now, and who knows what the picture will be on the other side of an election. But the interesting word in Nigel Dodds' interview there was arrangements. What arrangements is he talking about that would benefit the UK, would benefit Northern Ireland, would benefit Dublin, would benefit the EU? Is he talking about the all-Ireland approach to the agri-food sector to try and ensure that there are no checks needed on the border? Is he talking about beyond that? Because then we're into the whole realms of what a Northern Ireland backstop might indeed play out. Nigel Dodds, of course, will point to the fact that this is nothing new. This was there in the joint report, paragraph 50, where it was agreed that the Stormont Assembly would have any say on any joint arrangements that there was going to be between Dublin, Brussels and Belfast in terms of the overall arrangement. But nonetheless, other people will read into this and they will look at this and say, is this the start of a shift in the DUP policy? And what you might see happening, Vinnie, you may not see a Northern Ireland only backstop as we previously knew it coming back into play, but you might see something repackaged, different, if you like, that's something that Downing Street is going to try and concoct to try and achieve the same result, if you like, but doing it in a very different way.
And thank you very much. Before you go, have you been up all night? Is this an overnight for you?
No, not quite. A couple of hours of sleep.
Disappointed, Enda. I thought you were hardcore.
It was must-watch television early hours of this morning. It was one of those occasions whenever you're sitting through a lot of boring debates at Westminster that here you have something meaty and juicy and you simply don't want to miss it. And I can tell you, Vinnie, it was well worth setting up for and sacrificing the sleep for.
And McLafferty, thank you very much. 030 30 80 55 55. What do you think at home this morning? Would you be in favour, for example, of a referendum on a Northern Ireland only backstop? 030 30 80 55 55. Let's speak now to the Alliance Party leader, Naomi Long. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning.
And the TUV leader, Jim Allister. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Naomi, we'll start with you. Your reaction to yesterday in Westminster.
Well, I mean, I think there were unprecedented scenes. It's clear on both sides just how much the normal democratic operations in Westminster have broken down. And in some ways, I actually found it very sad, because Parliament is a place that, despite all of the kind of bizarre traditions and everything else, that generally functions reasonably smoothly. And to see last night MPs again just snub all of the conventions and ignore all of the normal processes, just, I think, says again just what an impact Brexit has had on politics generally and on Parliament in particular. And I think it's actually quite sad, and it's something that should worry us all, because at the end of the day, it's in all of our, it's to all of our advantage when we have a functioning democracy. And a lot of what happens in Westminster does happen by trying to find sufficient consensus, and that has completely broken down now. The idea of finding compromise seems to have gone out the window in favour of taking very ideologically driven positions. And I think we in Northern Ireland know what happens when politics comes down to ideologically driven positions, taking opposite positions. It doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't lead to progress. It might lead to scenes in the chamber, but it doesn't necessarily lead to good outcomes for the people. And so, you know, it was fascinating television, not to be missed, but ultimately I felt a bit sad watching it.
Jim Allister, did you feel the same way?
Well, the overwhelming feeling that I had was that here was an opposition running away from an election. Why? Because quite obviously, if they thought they could win it, they'd be all for it. But obviously, they've concluded they can't. And, you know, among them are people who have been demanding what they call a people's vote. Here was an opportunity to let the people vote, and they ran away. That's the overwhelming message. And some of them then behaved atrociously. You know, when you look at the scenes around the Speaker's chair, these are the same people who were complaining about Rees-Mogg last week resting on the benches. These are the people who then were behaving like corner boys around the Speaker's chair. So I don't think it did anything by them to edify the sights of Parliament. But, you know, this is a Parliament which has run its course. It is a Parliament which is not delivering government or good order for the United Kingdom. And this is a Parliament, the sooner it goes, the better, and is replaced by one, hopefully, that has got the vision of Brexit and will take us out as the people commanded us.
There is no vision behind Brexit, of course. That's the ultimate problem. Is the
sorry, there's a very clear vision. It's about taking back control of our laws, our money, and our borders. A very clear vision.
One at a time.
The vision behind Brexit is one of chaos and disorder, and what we saw in the chamber last night is the outworking of that.
Let's move on a little bit.
Sorry,
it's been a busy few days for Boris Johnson, Jim Allister. 6 days, six votes, six defeats. So moving forward, what is the next step? Is that a Northern Ireland only backstop?
Well, let me deal with this nonsense of a Northern Ireland only backstop. That, of course, is the preferred solution, so-called, of the European Union. That was their original proposal. It now has been proffered again by the EU, and all the pro-EU forces, including the media, are trying to give it legs. But this is the proposition which, for good reason, was rejected by Mrs. May, and not just Mrs. May, but by Mr. Corbyn, no less, with the declaration that no British Prime Minister could ever accept it. Why? Because a Northern Ireland-only backstop breaks up the United Kingdom. It deposits us in the EU's customs union with no escape. It deposits us in the EU's single market.
At the time,
with no
Jim
escape.
Allister.
Let me make the point. It leaves us cut off from the United Kingdom, and I believe is in flagrant breach of the foundational document of the United Kingdom, namely Article 6 of the Act, of the Act of Union.
Surely, though, at the time,
you mightn't be interested in what Article 6 says, but I think you should go and educate yourself that it creates a United Kingdom customs union and guarantees to all the people of the United Kingdom the same laws in that regard. And this would be a breach of that, and
Jim,
something, therefore, that would be
unconstitutional. At the time, Jim, Theresa May rejected the idea of a Northern Ireland only backstop because she needed the support of the DUP. Do you believe that has changed? I know Theresa May is no longer there, but in terms of the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson.
Well, I believe that Mrs. May and Mr. Johnson have emphatically nailed their colours to the mask on this, that they cannot be a party to the breakup of the United Kingdom. That's what this would be. It would orientate us away from our own single market in the United Kingdom. It would totally cripple our economy by putting a border down the Irish Sea. The £11 billion worth of goods that we bring in from GB every year to keep our economy going would be now subject to regulation controls. We'd be subject to the tariffs of the EU. We couldn't set them ourselves. We couldn't set the laws that govern the single market. It would leave Northern Ireland totally extracted from the United Kingdom and a protectorate of the EU and on the road to Irish unity.
Naomi Long?
Well, I mean, it's really remarkable how angry Jim can be so early in the morning. I mean, the truth of the matter on this is that the backstop arrangements came as a result of the red lines that Mrs May took to Brussels, and those were derived from a letter written by Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness way back when at the start of this process, when they wrote and said what Northern Ireland business and the community and our politics needed. Theresa May then went and negotiated a Northern Ireland-only backstop. And remember that those who get most exercised about the backstop keep telling us that there are a myriad of different arrangements that can replace the backstop. So this is a safety net. We'll only use it if those myriad of arrangements they claim exist aren't put in place.
Just to be clear, though, Naomi, you would be in support of a Northern Ireland-only backstop.
No, let me finish. Just to be very clear about this. From our perspective, we don't believe that a Northern Ireland-only backstop is the best option. We actually believe that having a people's vote, allowing the public to vote on the withdrawal agreement... Jim, if it's okay with you, I'll speak for myself. We're not against an election, but we're absolutely against giving this Prime Minister an election.
Your sister party is.
Well, you know what, Jim? I'm sure you have family with whom you disagree occasionally, but let me make my point. We are opposed to an election at a time that will allow this Prime Minister to wriggle out of his responsibilities allow the UK to crash out with a no-deal Brexit, which would be catastrophic for Northern Ireland. And that is our position. When the election comes, and Jim is right, this Parliament has run its course, and there will be an election, and when it comes, we're more than ready for that. So that clears that point up. The point that I want to...
Can I make one point there?
Yes, Jim.
Jim, because I haven't got to make my point about the backstop,
okay.
Because you keep interrupting. So the point of the backstop... The point of the backstop is that Theresa May sought it out. Our preference would be that we remain in the EU. We would like the opportunity to put those options in front of the people, including the backstop. If that doesn't happen, we believe that a UK-wide backstop is the best option. But failing that, we believe that a Northern Ireland-only backstop is the least worst option for Northern Ireland. And Northern Ireland is my priority. And so if it comes to that, we will certainly be encouraging others to support it. But I don't believe that the Prime Minister is floating the idea of a Northern Ireland-only backstop with the intention of getting it through Parliament. I believe he is floating it with the intention of apportioning blame onto MPs who oppose it for the chaos that will ensue from a no-deal Brexit, because I believe that a no-deal Brexit is his objective. And increasingly, in listening to Jim, I think it's his objective too, along with a lot of people in the ERG and other forces in Parliament.
It would
be catastrophic for Northern Ireland, and we will do everything in our power to resist it.
Let's go to the phones. Brian in Andersonstown. Brian,
allow me to respond.
I will in a second, Jim. Brian, go ahead. First call of the day. Good morning, Jim. Brian, sorry, go ahead.
Good morning. Just listen to Jim Allister, which... It's a repeat of what he said before many a time on the programme. But all the tale of woe he mentioned there, tariffs, the border down the sea and all the things, the economy and so forth, I would recommend we all stay in the EU. If that's what Jim Allister was saying, if what's going to happen, better stay in the EU. Would you not say that, Jim?
Absolutely not. We asked the people. We told them their decision was binding. And now we have spent 3 years trying to thwart...
Hold on, Brian. You asked Jim a question. Let's let him respond.
And now, not only has he asked me a question, but I've been denied the right, courtesy of the BBC, to answer the nonsense of Naomi Long. So I will take a minute, if you want me to stay in this programme, to do that. I'm very saddened that Naomi Long has reached the point where she is now prepared to contemplate and support the breakup of the United Kingdom by saying in last resort she would support a Northern Ireland-only backstop. A Northern Ireland-only backstop means the end of the United Kingdom. It destroys our economy. It puts a border down the Irish Sea. It delivers to Sinn Féin what they've long wanted.
One second, Brian. I'll bring you back in. Let's let Jim finish his point.
It is sad that the Alliance Party, non-unionist as I've always known them to be, are now pro-Republican in wanting to end.
Let's let Naomi respond to that.
Sad.
Okay.
Also sad with the fact that she's running scared of the
people. Right. Let's let her respond to that point, Jim. You've already said that. Naomi, go ahead.
Well, to be very clear, I have no reason to run scared of the people. We've seen the surge in the Alliance vote, and we will look forward to any general election with enthusiasm. But what we will not do is be goaded and taunted into giving Boris Johnson an election that suits his.
Because you know he'd win.
Which is one that will cause chaos.
You're scared of him winning.
Jim, if you could have some. Have you got some manners at all this morning?
Well, clearly not.
One at a time, Jim. Please wait for a moment, Naomi. Yes, please.
Because it really is ridiculous this morning. We will look forward to an election with enthusiasm because I know that Alliance will perform extremely well and that we will remove some of those who are in favour of Brexit from the Parliament. So I think that's good news. But we won't do it at a time that will allow Boris Johnson to cause maximum chaos in the UK, and I won't do it at a time that will cause maximum harm to Northern Ireland. And I think
that's a possible
course of action. Furthermore, to be very clear with Jim, I believe that the one thing that has threatened the United Kingdom and its integrity most in the last 3 years, not the position of the Alliance Party, and it's not the position of Sinn Féin, and it's not the position of Jeremy Corbyn. It is Brexit itself, because it has challenged the position of Scotland within the United Kingdom. It has increased the pressure for our border referendum in Northern Ireland. And if Jim is as concerned about the integrity of the United Kingdom as he suggests, then it is amazing that he would support Brexit, which has put all of that back on the table and created such harm within the United Kingdom and its politics.
Okay.
So I think Jim is being something of a hypocrite, but he will
okay.
not.
All right.
He will not label me.
All right, one at a time, please.
He will not label me a Republican.
Okay, well, Jim, you want back in there, and then we're going to go back to calls. Jim.
Sorry, Naomi is embracing a concept that would leave an inexorably to the breakup of the United Kingdom, treating Northern Ireland outside the UK single market, treating it outside the EU's, outside the UK's customs union, putting it in breach of Article 6 of the very Act of Union. That is the policy that Naomi Long is prepared to embrace. So when she
that is the policy. That is the policy that the Prime Minister is pushing.
Okay, all right. Let's go back to the phones. Barry, actually, sorry, Brian, you wanted to make another point. Go back to Brian, quick as you can, please.
Point. I'll put this to Jim Allister. Prior to the referendum, we were all in the EU. I've asked many a person. And by the way, politicians should listen to the ordinary people on the street here, who I call the common 5-8. I asked the question, being in the EU, growing up 40 years, which I did, had it any impact on themselves, on their standards of life, jobs, able to buy houses? And they said no. They knew we were in the EU, but it had no impact on them. Now it is going to have a big impact. And people
are
saying,
wrong about that.
People are saying to me that the ones who voted say that they'd leave, to say they wanted to leave. See now, and I'm being truthful here, Jim. See now, all the tales of woe that you spun there a minute ago, and the other politicians, they said, God, we'd better stay in, because if it's going to be what you're saying it's going to be like, they're saying, stay in.
All right, Jim?
Well, I don't believe that at all. The opposition parties believe that, then they'd be clamouring for an election instead of running scared. And Naomi Long and the rest of them know that the threat of an election is that the Conservatives would win, that the Brexit supporters would succeed.
Okay.
That's why they're running scared.
Let's bring in Steve Aiken from the UK.
For this nonsense that it didn't cost us anything to be in the EU, it cost us huge billions of pounds every year.
Steve Aiken, UUP MLA. Good morning to you, Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Billions of pounds.
Okay.
Could have been spending on our own people.
Yes, we'll get there. Steve, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. I was a bit deafened there in the ear, sort of, by listening to both sides.
Right. Well, what were your thoughts on a Northern Ireland only backstop, Steve?
I think any sort of form of backstop is not going to be good for Northern Ireland. And, you know, we just need to look at the Fraser of Allender Institute. Figures that have just been produced for the Department of Economy. And obviously a hard Brexit is going to be the worst, which is about 3.3% will upset our economy. But if we look at what the backstop is, anywhere between 2.7% and 1.3% drop in our GDP. And actually, the only thing that's not going to drop our GDP massively is some form of soft Brexit. It was about at 1.1%. And if we're going to have to go for a Brexit, that's what we need to aim for. A backstop doesn't work for anybody, Vinny. And we need to make sure that our economy in Northern Ireland is protected as we move into these very uncertain times.
So what do you want then, Steve, is a soft Brexit?
No, Vinny, we have, as the Ulster Unionist Party, for the last 3 years, we have been putting together proposals that has either been ignored or poo-pooed or nobody's really looked at them. But yet, every time we put something together, then, particularly our last thing, what we put together in February, which the media have only sort of woken up to in the last sort of couple of weeks to actually see that it's out there. And we're looking at, the problem has always been stated is the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. But what we are looking for is institutions built within the Belfast Good Friday Agreement to try and make it work. The north-south, east-west relationships. And looking at how we can get an all-island solution and an all-island solution to where we need to get to. And a lot of these ideas are now being fed into everything from the alternative arrangements process and are actually being talked about in Brussels behind the scenes. We need to get to a point where we have as soft as Brexit as possible, because that is the only way we're not going to have some form
of...
You
talk about behind the scenes, Steve. What do you know? I just want a further insight into what you know that's being discussed behind the scenes.
Yeah, indeed, you know, our proposals have been... We presented our proposals both to the Taoiseach, to the Taoiseach, to the then Prime Minister, to the DEXU ministers, to the, all the sort of panoply of people within in Brussels. You know, our proposals have been put to Barnier, have been put to Verhofstadt, all these things. We got quite favourable response from the various officials. And then because this whole issue has been used as a political football between Britain, the EU, and between Ireland and Britain and everything else, our voice has been swamped out. And now we're at a stage where it's going to have a really significant impact on the people in Northern Ireland, a very significant impact on the people on the island of Ireland, and a very significant impact in the rest of the United Kingdom. It's now time to look at if we can get proper processes going forward. But again, let's be brutally honest about it. All this talk about a Northern Ireland only backstop, this is only a negotiating ploy on behalf of Boris Johnson. And I think, and you know, if anybody listened, as I had to last night, the absolutely disgusting move by the government's business managers about the historical institutional abuse, I thought that was a very, very cynical move. And if they're going to do that for the victims of historical institutional abuse, what do you think they're going to talk about for the rest of the people of Northern Ireland? The DUP should be very, very cautious in keeping anything in with this Tory government, because Boris Johnson would sell us all down the river.
Jim Allister, can I ask, do you see any shift in the DUP position? You know, what all-Ireland arrangements do you believe Nigel Dodds is referring to?
Well, I don't know, but I do know this, that anything which moves to a point where it's the EU writ rather than the UK writ that runs and governs any sector of our economy is something that I would repudiate. You cannot, be it in agriculture or anything else, surrender control of United Kingdom governance of those matters to the EU and have laws made in a foreign jurisdiction over which you have no control, but your only obligation is to implement them whether you like them or not. That is not compatible with our membership of the United Kingdom and is not something that anyone should be talking about or embracing. It could and would be a slippery slope to the very thing that we're now talking about, because I did warn last week that even talk about an all-Ireland agricultural arrangement would inevitably lead to the logical demand, well, if you can stomach it for that, you can stomach it for everything. And that's why we've got back to this talk about a Northern Ireland-only backstop where our whole economy would be surrendered and annexed to the EU.
So
I think it's something that needs to be resisted.
Okay, so Boris Johnson, Jim Allister, he has said he will not ask for an extension, and if he does not break the law, then what will happen, what can happen between now and the end of October?
Well, I'm not Boris Johnson's advisor, but it seems to me there are a couple of options for him. The law says he has to write a certain letter. It doesn't mean he can only write one letter. He could write the letter that the Act requires and immediately follow it up with a letter of rescission. I have thought that's an option. he's probably considering. He might be considering not writing the letter at all and putting it up to the opposition as to whether or not they're going to go to the High Court and have him held in contempt, and whether or not he'll fight an election from the prison cell. That might be a novelty. That might, in fact, give him the greatest landslide ever. Like, I think there are options for him, and I think there also is the question of whether or not the Article 50 legislation, because it has effectively got the imprimatur of EU law, which has superiority to United Kingdom law, whether, in fact, it trumps the legislation that was passed this week. I think there are multiple issues to be explored. I don't know which ones he's exploring, but I do trust that he holds to his word and that he does not seek an extension which would keep us in this purgatory for any longer.
Also with us this morning, NI Labour Party member Phil Kelly. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Vinny.
Phil, sorry to keep you waiting. Let's take one more call and we'll come back to our commentators in a moment. Barry, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, is Jim Allister still there?
Jim is still there, yes.
Yeah, it's just he keeps talking about this Act of Union, okay? Now, the UK is made up of four countries. Wales was taken over by England and has no treaty. Northern Ireland's a partition country. Scotland is the only one with two treaties, the Act of Union of the Crown of 1607 and the Political Union of 1707. Now, Jim keeps quoting this Article 6 of the Act of Union. It has no relevance to Northern Ireland. It only is relevant to Scotland because Scotland is the only one with that Act of Union. So I think he needs to retract what he is saying.
Jim?
You know, the 1801, which united Great Britain and Ireland. That's the Act of Union which holds Northern Ireland within the United Kingdom. And Article 6 of the 1801 Act of Union is very clear that that creates a UK customs union and makes Northern Ireland entitled to the same benefits of any foreign treaties that the United Kingdom makes, which would include any trade treaties. Whereas if we were outside the customs union of the United Kingdom, trade deals could not apply to Northern Ireland.
Well, according to UK government website, there is only one Act of Union, Jim, so I don't know where you're getting that from. And to be honest with you, there will be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic, and there will be a hard border between Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Scotland and England, because Scotland will go independent, because we're fed up of being undermined by this Tory government, who Scotland have never voted for. And it's high time that Scotland got their independence and had a say for themselves, and it's high time that Northern Ireland stood up for themselves against this Tory government and the absolute excuse for a Prime Minister that is Boris Johnson.
Okay. Barry, thank you for your call. 03030 80 55 55. Naomi Long, you want to back in there before we went to the news in reference to something that Steve Aiken said.
Yeah, I mean, Steve obviously has made the point about the impact that the Northern Ireland only backstop would have on the economy, and there's no question that our economy will be hit by Brexit. It's not that the Northern Ireland only backstop will cause the harm. The truth is that any Brexit will cause difficulties with the UK economy, particularly with the Northern Ireland economy, and that contagion will then spread into the Irish economy. So that's a fact of Brexit. That's not a fact of the backstop. What the backstop does is actually minimise the damage. If we crash out without a deal, the impact will be much greater. If we stay within the UK-wide customs union, as Theresa May took to Parliament three times and failed to get through, then, you know, that again reduces it. So the truth is that it's not the backstop that causes the economic problems, it's Brexit that causes them. And of course there are opportunities, and I mean, I do think that we need to be having conversations about facilitation and other things down the line, but the truth is that the backstop isn't there as, if you like, the final solution to the Brexit problem. It is there as a legal underpinning so that we don't go any lower than that. The idea is then that over the withdrawal period of 2 years, a more detailed arrangement can be put in place, and that would allow other issues to be addressed, such as access to future trade deals for the UK and so on. So, I mean, I keep hearing from others that there are all of these other solutions. In that case, agree the backstop, agree the withdrawal agreement, and then put those other things in place during the withdrawal period, during the negotiation of the future arrangements. The truth is that I don't believe Boris Johnson has any alternatives. And I say that because he isn't in Europe negotiating. That's clear. When I'm in Europe, everyone is aware of that.
Okay.
And his own former ministers who resigned, people like Amber Rudd, have said he is spending all of his time looking for a no-deal Brexit. And I'm surprised, and not much that Jim Allister says surprises me, but I'm surprised that Jim seems to be pursuing this no-deal Brexit. It would be catastrophic for Northern Ireland.
Well, Jim is gone, just to point that out.
Yeah, for our prosperity, for our stability, and for our politics. And I believe that as responsible politicians, we have to look for solutions to this that actually hold up our prosperity, our peace, and our politics.
Well, Jim would say, I'm no doubt that that's exactly what he wants as well.
Well, I mean, then he needs to prove that by actually coming up with solutions that work, as opposed to simply shooting down every other solution that's put in place.
Naomi Long from the Alliance Party, thank you very much. Phil Kelly, again, this Northern Ireland only backstop, some suggesting there should be a referendum. Others may be concerned that some Republicans would say this is a type of proxy border poll.
Well, Vinny, I'm still recovering from watching the clown show in Westminster last night, and interesting to hear Naomi Long and Jim Allister recreating it on the show there this morning. Look, Jim said about the backstop pushing the breakup of the UK. Every action that the Democratic Unionist Party, the major Unionist Party, is taking is pushing towards that outcome. So, you know, they forget that the vast majority of people in Scotland voted against Brexit, that the vast majority of people here voted against Brexit. And the DUP may not like the Northern Ireland backstop, but they're very happy with the Northern Ireland backwater in terms of women's reproductive rights or LGBT equality or language rights. And unionism is in a difficult place when it starts representing a minority within the North here, because what you have now is the DUP arguing against the majority here who want the backstop, arguing against the majority who want women's reproductive rights and all those other rights, and that puts them into a very perilous position. The backstop is no threat to the union at all. The only way the constitutional status of Northern Ireland changes is by a referendum, as outlined in the Good Friday Agreement. The backstop offers us, it's intended to promote the protection of the Good Friday Agreement and keep the border open on this island. As I've said before, the majority back it. It gives us privileged access to both UK and EU markets, and it also recognises the unique circumstances on the island of Ireland, not the delusion that the DUP or the TUV fall into, that we're as British as Finchley. So therefore, you know, I think it's important to make the loudest calls here locally to say, you know, no matter what happens with the chaos of Brexit in Great Britain, we need that protection here.
Okay, well, let me put this to you, Phil Kelly. Nigel Dodds, DUP, said, is it fair to have a situation where you don't have a border on the island of Ireland to please nationalists, but you create one down the Irish Sea to the detriment of unionists?
Yeah, well, if the majority of people here back it, then yes, that is fine, and it is not that it's not the way Nigel Dodge is portraying.
And so, what are you basing that on? You say the majority back it. How do you know?
We've seen polling. We've also seen, if you look at the European parliamentary elections, the biggest number of votes went to parties who back that kind of stance. We've seen the Alliance Party, the SDLP, Sinn Féin, the Green Party back that stance. But what I would say is people like Nigel Dodds, the DUP and the traditional unionist voice voters should reflect on this. Boris Johnson himself, in relation to Northern Ireland, said we shouldn't be letting the tail wag the dog. He also reflect on this, that polling shows that among 80% of Leave voters in the UK say they're not concerned about Northern Ireland or the peace process, they just want their Brexit. Therefore, you know, we need to start focusing on how we protect ourselves from this. And what you have is the bizarre situation of the Democratic Unionist Party running around the decks of the Titanic saying burn the lifeboats. The backstop represents a lifeboat, a mitigation of the disaster that we're seeing unfold. And I'm sure you watched, Vinny, last night, the scenes in Westminster, how anyone can think that our interests are best served by this catastrophically chaotic government led by the clown Boris Johnson. How they think our interests are served by that is beyond me.
Okay.
And therefore, I think we need to really send a strong signal. We want the backstop as the minimum insurance so that we don't suffer the kind of disastrous no-deal Brexit.
To clarify, Phil, with a yes or no answer, if you can, would you call for a referendum on that Northern Ireland-only backstop?
I'm not sure about the practicalities of that. I'd have no problem with it. I'm not sure the practicalities or how that would unfold.
Right,
but I wouldn't be, I'm happy for people to send that signal, yeah.
Phil Kelly, thank you very much.